Chapter 17. Nova Class Frigate, Forge Hammer. The cell was empty, apart from one crucial detail.
"This is no holding cell," said Urgaresh, his voice a rasp.
He was crouching on one knee, surrounded by the Wrath, a piece of broken metal clenched in his gauntleted hand. The rest of the armor was lying on the floor, discarded. It was almost identical to the armor worn by Urgaresh. Shell shrapnel peppered the outer ceramite. Burns scorched its cuirass and greaves a deeper black. The clasps were broken, forcibly removed. Urgaresh held a face. It glared back at him through shattered eye lenses, a ragged scar across the scalp and cheek. Light blazed through this cleft from a brazier of coals glowing beneath. Urgaresh felt its heat next to him as he turned to his brothers. They were all armed, and not just with their bone blades. The armory had been unguarded and provided bolters, sidearms, and a chainsword the sergeant had taken for himself.
"It's a torture chamber," said Urgaresh, and held up the ruined faceplate to the others, the separated battle helm still lying at his feet. "This is his armor."
Thorast held out a gauntleted hand.
"Let me see it."
Urgaresh handed the faceplate over to the apothecary, who examined it carefully, while Harkem and Skar tried to marshal their anger at the discovery. Garn stood apart from the others, leaning heavily against the cell wall, half in light and half in shade from the open doorway. They had met no resistance so far. No klaxons sounded, no border repulse teams tramped down the corridors to meet them. After letting the mortals go, the Black Dragons had expected transhuman intervention. It was why they were here, after all. This latest discovery changed everything, though. Urgaresh felt the leash binding them all, the one he alone grasped, slipping. A growing part of him wanted to let it go.
"Too quiet,"
Garn slurred, still feeling the effects of the Thalax's lightning gun. As well as the wall, he leaned heavier on the only boarding shield they had found amongst the cache of weapons. His brothers would have disparaged him for claiming it, but everyone in the Wrath knew he was dying. So did Garn.
"Where are they, brothers?"
snapped Harkem, fingers twitching. Despite the fact the armory had been well stocked, Harkem had refused any weapons. He was a silent killer, best deployed from the shadows. Bone blades were all he needed, or so he had declared with obvious disgust at the others, even though it was tactically sound to arm up.
"Hiding behind their serfs," snarled Skar. "Honorless dogs." "Be calm, brother,"
Urgaresh told him, though he felt anything but himself. He turned to Thorast.
"Well, apothecary, am I right?"
Thorast gently put the faceplate down. For a moment, he stared into the broken lenses as if regarding the lifeless eyes of an old friend for the last time.
"Yes," he breathed, voice choking with emotion. "It is definitely his. The wound patterns are grievous."
Urgaresh arose and stood next to the apothecary.
"Is he dead, Thorast?" he demanded. "Can we be sure of that, at least?"
Thorast bowed his head, and all eyes from the Wrath went to him. Harkem and Skar calmed their violent energy. Garn stood just a little straighter and with only the shield for support. Eyes wide, Urgaresh seized the apothecary by the shoulder.
"Brother, an answer!"
Thorast only had the strength to murmur,
"Yes, he is dead."
He raised his head, and there was something in his eyes burning away the grief. Urgaresh chose to interpret it as anger and spoke to the Wrath himself.
"Zartath is slain.
He looked each of them in the eye, finding their rage enough to drown worlds.
Spare no one, he rasped. Everyone on this ship dies.
Makoto could hear them coming. By some miracle, he and Jeddah had reached not only the Deck 3 armory, but also a comms station through which the lieutenant was able to gather reinforcements. Makoto had cleared all non-combatants from the areas aft of Deck 3 and assembled his armsmen at key points across the forge hammer. 132 men and women stood ready, over 50 in this section alone. Makoto would have preferred double that. After the visit to the armory, the lieutenant was wearing heavy-duty combat carapace. It came with a helmet and a bandolier of blinders. He still had his grandfather's sword and father's braid. The latter was wrapped around his fist in some vain attempt to curry the favor of the dead.
"We that are soon to join them," he thought, as he turned to Jeddah and said, "Bring up that cannon."
It ground noisily across the deck on thick metal tracks. The weapon mount had a colorful designation, or so Makoto thought. Rapier. Quad-heavy bolters cycled ammunition as the track mount moved, arming up in preparation for whatever was coming down the corridor.
"Save that idiot grin for when the ship is safe and we're still alive," Makoto warned his man-at-arms, prompting Jeddah to adopt a more stoic demeanor.
Like his lieutenant, Jeddah was armored in carapace. Whilst he carried the rapier's control unit, his combat shotgun was slung over his back. The corridor was long and narrow. He had the perfect arc of fire. It was dark, however. Despite being able to access most of the forge hammer's onboard systems, shutting off bulkheads and conduits to force the aggressors into this bottleneck, the available power with the ship on silent running still only afforded limited illumination. Only Zarko had the authority and ability to change that, but currently the salamander's librarian was unreachable. His sanctum was impregnable to any means of breaching it Makoto had at his disposal. And despite numerous attempts at contact, silence persisted between it and the rest of the ship. The lieutenant's armsmen were all there was to defend the ship. They would just have to be enough. Makoto turned to the man behind him, but his words were intended for all 50-something armsmen cramped in the small junction, backs pressed against walls, into alcoves, and behind what little cover they had.
"These warriors are not like ordinary boarders. We still do not know what they want, either. Be ready, for they'll move quickly and savagely. Stay together, hold position, and listen to my orders, and you will have a much better chance of staying alive."
Satisfied his speech had done all it could, Makoto turned back to face the corridor.
"Keep it close, Jeddah," he said, referring to the track mount and making sure only the man-at-arms could hear him. "I want every inch this corridor can offer. We stop them here, or we don't stop them at all."
"There are just 5 of them, sir."
5 angry renegade Astartes," Makoto replied. "Even one would worry me, Jeddah."
"You know this location is not secure," Jeddah murmured.
"Even so, I am staying here. There are too many maintenance ducts, tunnels, companionways. I cannot guarantee they haven't infiltrated one or more of them.
I have eyes watching every possible access. Even if we can't lock them down, we will see them coming.
I just wanted to make you aware, sir. No one would misjudge you if..."
Makoto held up his hand.
"You're a fine soldier. None finer serve on this ship. And I can say that even surrounded by all of these brave souls, because they know it too. But don't lessen my respect for you by saying what I think you are going to. They are on my ship. I will be here at this line until that is no longer the case."
Jeddah nodded and that was an end to it. When the talking ceased, the sounds of the ship and its circadian rhythms took over, as deafening as silence. Air recycle hummed, the hull groaned, engine drone kept at its lowest impulse throbbed like a migraine. Surprising, then, that no one heard the dull clank of heavy boots against the deck, or even saw the bulky shadow of black armored warriors bearing down upon them until they were already halfway down the corridor. The armsman behind Mercato spotted the danger first.
"There!"
he cried, just before a shell whined through the dark and blew his head apart like an egg. Bone, brain, and blood were still raining down as Jeddah triggered the heavy bolters. Four cannons lit up at once, muzzle flashes throwing harsh light down the corridor. Sparks cracked against a solid mass as if the darkness itself was moving on them. And it was getting closer. A heavy boarding shield, a massive Adeptus Astartes-sized thing. It was almost broad enough to fill the width of the corridor. Without better firing angles, the armsmen would be forced to shoot right at it. What had started out as a sound tactical position had turned into a weak and predictable one. Rather than a quintet of armored figures advancing upon them, it was a single mass. Mercato saw the danger and bellowed to shock his men into action.
"Take out that bloody shield!"
A fusillade of shotgun bursts and lasgun cracks filled the air, adding to the rapier's louder boom. Aim was poor, with barely half the armsmen managing to hit the target, in spite of its size and singular nature. For many, this was the first time they had fought against space marines. Mercato knew Jeddah had drilled them hard, but no amount of training could have prepared them. Hands were shaking, hearts failing. Frustrated, Jeddah pushed the control panel into the hands of a rookie armsman and hefted his combat shotgun.
"Aim and fire!"
he roared, showing how by example. Burn scars and pellet marks cratered the boarding shield, but it was made to withstand sterner punishment, and the warriors behind it to weather fiercer opposition. It just kept on coming. Garn was feeling the pressure. Two-thirds of the way down the corridor, and he slipped. Thorast was there to hold him up.
"Almost there, Vexillary," the apothecary told him.
"Need a moment," he said, gasping for air, smack in the middle of the firestorm as the others took snapshots from behind the boarding shield.
Garn grasped the side of his battle helm, struggling to release the clasps.
"Help me get this off."
"We need to move," said Thorast,
but Garn's hand upon his arm cooled his urgency. There was something about the way he did it, the manner of his grip.
"Brother,"
Garn insisted,
"I can barely breathe."
Hunkered down, Thorast released the locking clamps to help Garn take his battle helm off. It clanged loudly as it hit the floor, the sound all but drowned out by the fusillade hitting the shield.
"Better?"
asked the apothecary. "Now, can we move forward?"
"Do I look better, brother?"
"Like death, Garn."
Garn chuckled ruefully.
"Good."
He licked his lips. There was blood on them. His armor glistened with it.
"A pity we have no banner."
"Don't you know yet, Vexillary?" said Thorast. "It was you, not the banner, that we followed."
Garn laughed again, but the apothecary was not finished.
"We owe a debt of blood," he said,
grimacing at the blistering fire just above his head.
"We cannot stop."
Garn nodded wearily, pushing the shield with the apothecary's help, grinding it against the deck for a few feet until the Vexillary had lifted it again.
"Then I rest."
Garn breathed, coughing up frothy, blood-flecked sputum.
"Then you rest," echoed Thorast,
knowing exactly what the Vexillary meant. It wasn't working. The shield was too robust, their weapons ineffective. Armsmen were intended for the security of a ship, its internal security principally. Against deck ratings, unruly overseers and bondsmen, they were the very best. Even in a limited border repulsion role, they could be extremely useful. But this was the Forge Hammer. Its complement of Adeptus Astartes was supposed to defend it. The one that had been left behind was absent. As a result, Mercator felt distinctly outgunned. He considered falling back. There were junctions and chambers deeper into the ship that would afford better arcs of fire and present an enfilading position to reduce the effectiveness of the boarding shield. Slow the advance of the renegades might be, but against small arms fire and even the track mount, it was inexorable. Close up, even behind their mobile barricade, Mercator got a better look at the black dragons. He recognized their leader, the one with the excessive bone growths. They had shown mercy earlier, expressing a desire to fight with the chapter warriors aboard this ship. Mercator had sensed some honor in them. What had happened to drive them into such a berserk rage?
"Hold fast!" he shouted to the others, having drawn a bolt pistol and firing it single-handed like a naval officer of old. "We can break them! We can break them!"
"Munitions are running low, sir," said the rookie who was manning the rapier. Jeddah had advanced to the forward line, just to the side of the chugging track mount, a grimace etched onto his face from the retort of the heavy bolters.
"Stop and reload," replied Mercator, reaching for his bandolier. "I'll buy you some time."
The rookie went to it, getting help from the nearest armsman who had overheard the lieutenant, just as Mercator primed a blind grenade.
"Blinders out!"
he bellowed, prompting the men to turn and shield their eyes as he lobbed the flashbang in the renegade's midst. It lit up the corridor in a flare of magnesium, so bright it seemed for a moment to bleach the walls white. Their shadows still receding, along with the sudden light burst, Mercator got a good look at the enemy. Four warriors still stood. The shield still stood. It had hurt them, though. He heard curses and four warriors. The thought struck Mercator like a blast of chill wind. There had been five on the ship initially, and with no casualties, that meant one was unaccounted for.
"Jeddah!"
cried Mercator, just as the fusillade started up again. But he was already too late.